Kino zu Hause, der DocFest München Podcast. Filmgespräche des Internationalen Dokumentarfilmfestivals München.
We would like to welcome on stage Bujumelik Olu and Wuzla Karan. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
It is very important when you make a film about queer characters and about a trans friend of yours to make sure that this person has their own agency in the film, that you're not a documentary filmmaker who tells a story about something that is interesting or a topic. How did you you succeeded in that, in my opinion, but how did you manage that you keep his agency in the film?
Would you want to start? Sure. Yeah, it was a lot of back and forth. I think the biggest challenge that we had was there was a lot of, obviously in the film, there's a lot of language of hate. So we had to be very careful how to kind of tell Rüzgar's story, where he still reclaims some of that power and some of that agency without reproducing that hate, that language of hate. So like we tried to just talk to him constantly over the process of filming. It took quite a while. We filmed for about 5 or 6 years. And there was a lot of back and forth in terms of what was going on in his life and in terms of what he was comfortable with. So it was just like a lot of touch and go in terms of how we communicate with him. And it was also maybe because we just were friends, you know, and then we constantly hung out and we know him quite well through the process. So it was kind of...
Yeah, we've been together all the time.
And it was a learning process for us as well. Like, you know, like when he came out to us, it was also for us to be able to say, okay, so this is something, it was something new for us as well, you know. So it was kind of a lot of communication, just making sure that he's comfortable with everything that we're showing and not showing, basically.
Can you tell us about the footage that you used? And I mean, we talked about that yesterday because we had a screening yesterday too. When you include footage of a trans person before transitioning, it's a very, very sensitive subject for many trans people, not for everyone, but for many. How did you talk to him about it? Was he the person who provided the footage to you and said, yes, please use it for the story I want to tell too with you?
Yeah, that was also something we always have been in communication about. It was more like, because of course he had a time that he was feeling quite uncomfortable about his past images. But since I think it's also about the process we have been through altogether, in terms of the time, since the film took like 10 years, I think he felt more comfortable in time, but also maybe you can explain.
Yeah, I think it was also like there was a point, I think it was good for us in terms of being able to use some of the footage that the film took a while, because by the time that we were kind of like done with the edit and like, you know, getting closer to the finish line, he was again feeling very, he reclaimed some of that agency, he became visible, he opened his own Instagram, like he said, okay, this is who I am. So that was a point in time in his life that he felt more comfortable, more at peace with who he is. And so I think that kind of helped. And most of the footage, like the way that the film started, like he already started filming some of the video diaries for himself. So those were the things that he gave to us. And the day that we filmed with him looking at his old pictures, those are the pictures that he provided. So it was more like a lot of communication that was just like, what are you comfortable with? Can we do this? And if you're not comfortable, then we're not going to use it. So that's kind of like how it...
Yeah, and with the TV footage, it was intentional that we didn't want to use the same TV language.
Yeah, so you don't see the full images ever. Like, you know, that's kind of like intentional.
Can you tell us about the situation? I mean, you were friends with him for, I guess, years before. When that happened, because I mean, when it happened that the media picked up on the story and how that must have felt for, I mean, I think everyone who knew him and who was there for him in a, in this very sensitive time. And how did you learn about it? And what was your reaction as friends?
We couldn't believe, actually, because Rüzgar quit acting like a year ago before starting his gender affirmation process. And it was his idea to start filming because he didn't know any English. And back then there was no Turkish resources about transition. And it was more like we were sitting with him, watching some YouTube videos, and we were translating to him all about T-shirts and everything. So it was his idea to start filming. And he was like, maybe I will feel comfortable like 6 years from now, and then maybe we can turn this to something. But 6 months into filming, he was outed. So it was shocking for all of us because it was something so, I mean, transmasculinity wasn't something visible. We have a trans woman, a diva, a singer, but we also didn't know how everything will be handled.
And he wasn't that famous, was he? Like, you know, he became more famous as a trans man than... You've known him since he was 17, probably.
Yeah.
He was more famous when he was 16, 17, 18. And then this film starts when he's like 26.
Exactly.
So it was kind of like a fading fame, I think. So we weren't expecting that it was going to be like this huge media blowout. So that was kind of, we were also caught off guard, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe a stupid question, but why do you think it blew up like that? I mean, of course, we have transphobia all over the world, and but I don't know. Do you have any idea why this happened to such an extent?
I think it was because transmasculinity was very, very invisible. Like, there was no other example. Like, there are people in Turkey now that come out to their parents saying, I'm like Rüzgar. Like, you know, that's happened for like 6-7 years after this thing. You know, it became a thing. Like, instead of coming out as like, I'm trans, like, I'm non-binary, they just, like, he became like, you know, that one person who's just like, huh. So I think that was like part of it. The second would be just, yeah, overall transphobia and ridiculous curiosity and like, you know, the... people thinking that they have some say in someone's life or who they need to be just because they've seen him on a TV show before. Like, it's just, I think it's a...
I think so.
That obsession with some sort of celebrity fame and that you have right over other people's lives. And Turkey's a big TV country, like TV shows and TV soaps are huge. So I think that might be...
Do you have any questions? Of course, you're invited to ask. Yes. Oh, I think we have a mic, right? Yeah. I think they just need to pull it up. Give them a second. And no, we want to hear you. Habt ihr das noch, dass ihr das hochziehen könnt, das Gästemikrofon? Does it work? Sorry. Oh, you can just use mine. Yeah. I'm faster.
Okay.
Sorry, it wasn't turned on. Sorry.
Okay. It's too loud now. First of all, congratulations. It was a very well-made documentary. You said you are friends with him, right? Were you at any point behind the camera? Were you the people who were shooting? If the documentary was made by someone else who wasn't really related to him, in what way would it be different? Or my question would be, what's your touch in this documentary?
We were the ones who were filming most of the time, and during the film, you either hear my voice talking to him or Uslat's. I don't think they would be able to make a documentary coming in from an outside, especially not at that period when he was outed. I think the film would have looked more like, you know, the last line where we have the sit-down interview and he says, you know, who I became who I wanted to be, but how free am I? That would be the style of a, like a American documentary that's like a sit-down interview filled with his former celebrity footage and like, you know, start, like, I'm not saying that's a thing, but I think that would have been the type of documentary someone else could have made if they were granted access, I guess.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm not sure. Yeah,
I think most of the footage that we used is the footage that looked the worst. So I think as filmmakers, like, you know, that's kind of like, you, because you shot all this beautiful footage, that's like really, you know, but most of the stuff we end up using as just are those intimate moments where I don't think anyone could have captured if we weren't friends. So that doesn't speak to your filmmaking ability, but more to your sense of being a part of a queer community, I think. So I think that's, if there's a strength in the film, that's it.
Okay, can I ask another question?
You have the mic, just go ahead.
I didn't really think the question through, but basically the choice of showing the dead only at that scene, is there any...
The father, you mean?
The father.
The dead. The father, sorry. Yes. What was the reason, or maybe could you tell us more, if you're allowed always, about the relationship between him and his dad?
Specifically with his dad. It was kind of a distant relationship, I can say. I mean, there was love, but he was always more comfortable with his mom. And back then, his father was sick, actually. And he lost his father, like, so I think...
Very soon after that scene.
It was a scene that we weren't really so sure if we should... Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like... we loved that moment, and we knew that Rüzgar would also love that scene to be in the film. But... We had a lot of cuts that doesn't include that scene. Mm-hmm. But what else I can say about their relationship?
I think in general, we tried to avoid talking to the family directly as interviews or anything. And I think it's an intentional choice because that's something we talked a lot about. Like they're chosen families and then you have your families that you're born into. And then that is just almost the same story for a lot of queer people, and you have a touch and go relationship with your parents, like, you know, come out to them, you have like family who's like not comfortable at first, and then a lot of cishet audience wants to see and be able to relate to the characters through their family, because those are the ones that look normal to them, you know, like the mom and the dad who are like, oh, it should be so hard for them, you know. So we intentionally did not make that an obvious storyline, so I think that's the only intentional thing that we did. So we only kept the verite style things, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was amazing. Just like gave me goosebumps throughout. It was an incredible emotional journey. And yeah, just got to say that. And I was wondering about if you had interactions with other members of the transgender community that perhaps came from a different background, that maybe lived in a smaller city, came from like a different socioeconomic background, because I think I was like pleasantly surprised at the quality of care that Rüzgar got in terms of like having a therapist, having like access to just medical options. And I'm wondering, I kept on like thinking about probably most people wouldn't have that, and what difference that would make in your opinion to like their journey and the things that they go through.
It is, for example, having a therapist, it's part of the process. the legal process. It's free in Turkey. And back then, for Rüzgar, it wasn't free to have the surgeries, but also now it's also free for like...
So your state insurance basically covers it, your public health care in Turkey?
And in Rüzgar's case, Rüzgar also, it wasn't free, but he was using his father's social care. It's complicated for in Turkey, but it was also almost free for Rüzgar. It wasn't like, because but he wasn't making a lot of money.
Yeah, he was kind of broke at the time. Like, you know, like he didn't have a lot of money. Like he didn't have any savings. He wasn't really acting for almost a year and a half. But you are right. But he was also in the same group therapies. Like in Turkey, there are like three cities you can get access to gender affirming care. So you have to be in one of those three, like Istanbul, Ankara, or Izmir, to get the access. You have to go to group therapy for like a year. That's in a state hospital, like in Istanbul. So Rüzgar had to do that with all the other trans people that we also interacted with, who are from various different backgrounds, but they go through the exact same process. But yeah, Rüzgar was lucky in the sense that he did get, like he kept his therapist beyond that group therapy. But it's the same people that they have access to. So it's kind of interesting. Turkey does give you tools so far to at least, you know, do something in terms of public health care.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks very much for that. I have two questions, actually. I'll ask them both at once. The first one is, was there ever a point of tension or a cause of arguments, the fact that you two were wandering this boundary between being his friends and being documentary makers? And the second one is, do you believe that the public reaction to Rüzgar's transition would have been different were he born male transitioning to female?
Yeah, let's start with the second one. I think, of course, it would be different. I think it's always, there are more hate against trans women, I think.
Yes, but there might have been less curiosity, but I don't know. But there's some examples of them now, again, like some influencer who's a trans woman, and she adopted a kid, and now there's this huge, like the state is trying to get the kid back, but they adopted it from, like it's becoming more transphobic and homophobic in general, I think, overall.
And for the first question, of course, we had a lot of internal and external tension about it. And between each other also, we are also friends. And but I think somehow it turned out to be the power of the film. I mean, that tension, I think, because...
tell me what you mean. I don't know.
Because being so close to him made us making all those decisions...
not very lightly. So there was a lot of arguments, yes, with him as well and each other.
Yeah, as kind of helped us. As Burcu said before, I mean, we didn't use all those beautiful footage at the end. Yeah. If you think from a point of view of a filmmaker, it's a hard decision. It's not easy. I mean, you have all those beautiful footages that you cannot use. But then, I don't know. Emotionally, I think it empowered the film.
So too. And at the end, like, you know, when he finally saw the film, he was like, this is the right time for the film to end. Like, so I think we were really depressed for a while because it took us a long time to finish because we had very different versions of the film, but we weren't comfortable with it and everything. And we were concerned, like, for his safety, like, if you do this now, like, what's going to happen? Like, you know, like, all the back and forth and all the tensions. But at the end, I think it just came out in the right time for him as well. So I think it turned out for the best.
Do you have any more questions or comments? Feel free. Yes. Sorry, in the very back.
Yes, of course, from this side. Also, thank you so much for this amazing documentary. I was wondering, did you show the movie in Turkey and also all over, or only in the Western cities? How is the setting there to present a movie like this?
We didn't make the Turkish premiere yet. We are planning to do it in fall, actually, because we wanted the film. It was always our plan to make the film because we didn't want another storyline about him having a documentary. You know, another paparazzi.
Sensationalist news pieces that are coming from Turkey saying, that's what he did. So, we wanted the film to be established as a film, which is what you do in Turkey, is usually just go through festival circuit, and then you have a few pieces written before you do the Turkish premiere, and then the film people will write about it, not the paparazzi. Paparazzi will end up writing about it, but it will be received firstly as a different thing. And that's usually the strategy. In terms of the strategy for a queer film, we'll see.
We cannot say we are totally comfortable waiting for the elections. but for example, we have a queer fest and we can show it in queer fest, obviously. It wouldn't be a problem. This film has a potential, has a theatrical release potential. We know that. We'll see.
Any more questions, comments you would like to say? And if you're shy, don't worry. We're not recording you, we're just recording us on stage, I think.
Thank you so much for your heartfelt filming. This film touched me deeply because I witnessed similar events growing up in China. And I wanted to know, as she was under criticism and pressure, did she actively look outward for positive voices to support her process of self-improvement? And if she fights back against outside criticism, and how did she accomplish this process?
How did he accomplish, bearing all the criticism?
Yes.
Coming from the outside.
And if she fights back against outside criticism, and how?
Like being an activist or no?
Rüzgar's not, he's not an activist. Mm-hmm. That's one of the struggles that I think his perception in the queer community is when you're visible like that, then people expect you to speak for all trans people or all queer people. And that wasn't the case. He never wanted to wear that amulet, I guess. He just wanted to live his life. But in terms of bearing all the criticism, I think it was...
He became more visible.
Yeah, I think his way of reclaiming his power was because he always wanted to hide, right? He thought he could just be under the radar and just live his life, work at a bakery, be quote-unquote invisible. But throughout this process, I think his way of reclaiming that power was that he embraced, I have to be visible, I have to say this is who I am and, deal with it kind of thing. So I think that was his tool for... bearing those pressures. I don't know if that answers your question. Yeah, thank you.
So if there are no more questions or comments, you can tell the directors afterwards when I'm not listening, because you can have a drink with us downstairs. I think there's always drinks at DocFest, to be honest, here in the Festival Center. So I would love to say thank you so much for making Blue ID. Thank you for coming here, Vuslat and Buzhu. It's a pleasure to have you here. Let's have a drink together. Have a drink with us, and please make some noise for them.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.